Right about that time for PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. I am Cody Sandusky. It is currently October 15th, 2016. As always, recorded on the night before, this case, Friday, October 14th, 2016. But nonetheless, welcome to the October 15th edition of PZ85 Sports. Glad to have you alongside for the ride as always. It's going to be a very fight-centric podcast today in terms of the news that we're going to be covering, and not necessarily boxing, not necessarily MMA. It's going to be both. Again, revisiting a couple topics we've touched on briefly, we'll recap what has happened to Tyson Fury in this past week, because I know we've talked about it at length two different times. I don't want to continue rehashing the same conversation, but I think it's important to at least address what has happened in the last few days and what some people within the fight community have said about it. His uncle was calling his suspension and, spoiler alert, his vacation of the two titles, or vacating of the two titles that he was in possession of, a blessing in disguise for him. Tyson has put up on Twitter a few things talking about focusing on recovery and then also, you know, God help him through this, and we'll get into some of those things. But Tyson Fury situation is going on. In the MMA world, we're going to talk about two people that are intertwined for different reasons. Jose Aldo is talking about no longer wanting to be in MMA, or at least in the UFC. This after Conor McGregor is given a title fight against Eddie Alvarez at UFC 205 for the lightweight title without vacating his featherweight title, a title that Jose Aldo is wanting to have a rematch for, and oh, by the way, is the interim featherweight champion. So we're going to get into that conversation, as well as Conor McGregor's thoughts about the $150,000 fine levied against him by the Nevada Athletic Commission, and why he said that Nevada's probably not in his future, as well as the baffling, maybe a little bit confusing thoughts from Dana White in his support of one and general disdain for the thoughts of the other. Like I said, it's going to be very fight heavy, but I think it's very interesting to talk about these things because they're narratives we've discussed on this podcast before, as well as ones that we haven't. I think it's important to go over these topics and maybe show some light to the fights across the world that we see in terms of regulated fights. I'm not talking about street fights, but to give credit to these sports that, you know, MMA is climbing, of course, very rapidly, but boxing's seeing its downfall, and of course, with a figure like this who held two of the four heavyweight championships, the only weight division that tends to matter to some people, to see him topple in such a public way, it's something that we're going to at least discuss. But I want to rewind by talking about a couple of things first. First of all, the report I had last week about Tiger Woods coming back to play in the Safeway Open. Yeah, I apologize for that inaccurate information. It was accurate at the time of recording, but it was very quickly thereafter debunked. And actually, due to last week's episode being posted on Monday, which I do apologize for, that was on me, a little bit of a scheduling conflict, and life being life as it tends to be on Saturday, I wasn't able to get home in time to get everything polished up, ready to upload to our Podbean, so my apologies for that. But by the time this episode, or last episode, was released on Monday, Tiger Woods had already announced that he had withdrawn from the Safeway Open, which we knew at that time was possible because it was basically him declaring his intent to want to play, so they had saved a spot for him in the tournament. But he decided that he was not fully ready yet, so he withdrew from it. That makes sense. It stinks. I know for golf it stinks, but at least Tiger is considering coming back. So in terms of the network executives that enjoy the money that comes with Tiger Woods playing, as well as for those of us that acknowledge that despite the indiscretions and the failures in his personal life, and maybe, you know, some of the failures on the golf course just in terms of deteriorating over the last few years due to back injuries, leg injuries, and the like, this is still one of the greatest golfers to ever play the game. So, you know, you have to respect when he's willing or capable of coming back, and he's going to draw that attention no matter what. Also, the NHL season has begun. The Blues are 2-0-0, and I know that we talk about not always going local in our sports coverage, but I know for me, I am very excited. I'm able to watch the Blues games all season long thanks to PlayStation View. I'm able to use Fox Sports Go to do that. I actually watched the first two periods of the first two games thanks to my lovely fiance Emily, who decided to watch them with me or allow me to watch them while we were hanging out together. So, kudos to the Blues, 2-0-0. The puck has dropped on the 50th season for the second, or I say the first expansion, the second six teams to come into the NHL, or at least those that still exist. The Los Angeles Kings, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the St. Louis Blues. And if recollection serves correct, that is the only set of those teams that still exist where they were when it happened. Now, the other two teams were the Minnesota North Stars, who are now, as you may know, the Dallas Stars, and the California Seals, who have moved a lot. They were the Cleveland Barons in 1976 through 1978, and that is when the team ceased operations in 1978. They merged with the Minnesota North Stars, and then the North Stars made their way to Dallas. So, in some form or fashion, some of the teams are still intact. And it's the California Seals logo, kind of weird. Also, the Oakland Seals. They were a seal. Don't ask questions. It's probably fine. But the original six were joined by six new teams. Five of the six teams exist in some manner. And now we are celebrating those 50th anniversaries. Yes, the math doesn't make sense because there was a lockout, so it's technically only the 49th season of competition. But it's still exciting, and for me, a very happy time as a Blues fan to celebrate this history. We got the gold on the blue note on the sweaters this season. We're celebrating with the most basic logo for a 50th anniversary I've ever seen. It's the blue note on top of a gold 5 and 0. Just a block 5, block 0, well, rounded 0, but you get the idea with the blue note. It's just 50. Okay, bit unorthodox, bit simple, but it's an exciting time. So if you are a hockey fan, I know you've already dove into the season. If you're not a hockey fan, I always recommend checking it out. Blues games, go check one out. Or wherever you're at. You know, if you're in Nashville, if you're in Dallas, we have a lot of Texas fans apparently, and thank you for listening. Wherever you may be across the globe, there's a good shot that there's hockey somewhere near you or in a relatively close travel distance. Like I know for myself here in Southeast Missouri, the Blues play at the SkyTrain Center, which is 2 hours north. And then we have the Nashville Predators that play approximately 4 hours away. Now, I don't know why their stadium escapes me right now, the name of the arena, but they do play down there. And oh, by the way, it's the Bridgestone Arena. Yes, based on tires. Brains are hard to figure out sometimes, and so are thoughts. But hockey is round about us. Baseball is in the playoffs. The ALCS is starting tonight. As we record on Friday, October 14th, the Indians are playing the Blue Jays. Indians haven't been to the World Series in many a moon, 97 to be exact. The Toronto Blue Jays have not been to the World Series since 1993 when they won their second of two consecutive. NLCS starts today, I suppose, if you're listening to this. The Dodgers haven't been since 88 when they won it. The Cubs haven't been since 45. Someone with a dry spell is going to win. Go Indians. Or go Tribe, go Cleveland. However you want to avoid that touchy subject. I know we've talked about it with the Redskins / Washington in the past. I still want Cleveland to win. I would like to see them break that because, of course, I don't want to see Chicago to win. And I just like the way Cleveland's putting that team together. I respect Terry Francona excessively as a manager. And having another World Series title under his belt and being able to bring another team back from a long drought with the Indians would be that final piece to put on his plaque in Cooperstown. Oh, football's happening. Third Saturday in October's tomorrow. Tennessee is in the top 10. Very excited. Hopefully they win because they're facing number one Alabama, which is the buzzsaw of the SEC. Go Big Orange. I hate Alabama. And if you want to know why I'm referencing that, just go Google I Hate Tennessee. You'll find the YouTube video that I've already been shared a couple times by my good friend Gabe. It's fun to watch, but screw Alabama. Go Tennessee. Fandom's out of the way. I'm excited to get this podcast started. So let's go. Tyson Fury, who said we're going to address it briefly. As we talked about, he has been battling depression. By proxy of depression, he's also been doing cocaine. Or as he said it, lots of cocaine. So there have been two pieces to the story that have happened in quick succession. Starting on the 13th, which is Thursday at the time of this recording, this Friday, Tyson Fury vacated the WBO and the WBA World Heavyweight titles to deal with his, quote, medical treatment and recovery, end quote. Now, there's a lot of things we can get into in this article. He feels very confident for everything. He says, quote, I now enter another big challenge in my life, which I know, like against Klitschko, I will conquer, end quote. So he's given up the belts. Both organizations were looking at stripping the belts from him because he obviously has not going to be coming back to boxing for a little while due to leaving for this mental health issues, battling the severe depression, and also because there's probably going to be some trouble with the cocaine thing happening. The British Boxing Board of Control, the BBB of C, not the biggest fan of that. So we will see what happens there, and actually we'll get to their component of this story in just a moment. But all things considered, this was the right thing to do. And I'm happy that Tyson Fury has finally done it. I don't believe it should have taken this long, but I believe this is the right course of action. And it's not to belittle him. I hope he gets help for his health issues, both mentally and for cocaine, or whatever, you know, drinking, drug of choice, however that may go. I hope he gets that help, and I hope the things go well, because early reports, and obviously you don't change, or you start, you know, building away from that, or chipping away at that depression rapidly, that's over a course of time. But he has started that process, and apparently is committed to that cause, and that's good. Because you have to have that will of mind, that will of spirit to kind of go through that, chip away at those problems, and chip away at those things that are battling against you to recover. And that's good that he's doing that. As my phone drops, sorry about that. But it would not have been right of him to hold the belt hostage in the meantime, to kind of sit on it and say, yeah, this is mine, I've earned this, I'm not giving it back. Now, he's going to make a claim, and has made a claim, that he is still the quote-unquote true heavyweight champion of the world. Apparently he has a few appearances lined up to where that's going to be a part of his discussion. He is the quote-unquote true heavyweight champion of the world. That's great and all, and I get you wanting to do that. That's an awesome thing to put on a promotional poster. I don't quite buy that right now, because you're not. Yes, you are the linear champion. You own two of the titles, or owned before you relinquished them of your own will, quote-unquote. But you can't call yourself right now the true heavyweight champion of the world. One, there's another guy that has two belts, and oh, by the way, or at least one belt, he will be fighting Vladimir Klitschko if things continue the way they are. It is being, you know, discussed by a few people. Promoter Eddie Hearn has said that a deal is, quote, very close for Britain's heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua to fight Klitschko for Joshua's IBF title and the now vacated WBA title. So someone else holds one of these belts, and someone else is going to be contesting for your belt, and it's not you. You're not the true heavyweight champion of the world right now. Could you be? Yes. Were you for a period of time? Some would argue that. But you're not at this moment, so you can't quite claim that, at least with me, in my eyes, be valid in that claim. So Tyson Fury has done that. He's relinquished the WBO and the WBA heavyweight championships. What has also happened, at least for the time being, is that his license has been suspended by the British Boxing Board of Control. Now, this news came out later on Thursday, and it's something we expected. You know, this isn't coming out of left field, to borrow, you know, an American sport phrase. We knew this was going to happen. It would be unrealistic and probably irresponsible for the BBB of C to not, and yes, I love that acronym, so I'm going to keep using it, to not address this in this manner, at least for the time being. It hasn't been revoked. It hasn't been said that he will never be allowed to fight again. It's saying that he has had his license suspended at this time. According to the announcement from The Guardian, which is where I cite this article and the article before that referred to his belts being given back or vacated, it says that this suspension takes place with immediate effect and is under further investigation into, quote, anti-doping and medical issues, after withdrawing from his scheduled rematch with Vladimir Klitschko for the second time after being declared medically unfit. Now, of course, we talked about Fury's talked about his cocaine problem, his mental health problem, all of this, and it was curious what was going to be happening with this from the British Boxing Board on, oh, Board of Control, I just want to say the BBB of C. You know, we're just going to do that. If you don't know the organization acronym, that's okay. I just like BBB of C. So anyway, the Trip B Boys, they decided that this was a time to not rip it away completely, but determine what was going to happen permanently later on. And the manager or the trainer for Tyson, which is his uncle Peter Fury, is asking the board to have into consideration his condition as they talk about the permanency of the suspension or revocation or however it goes. And his quote is, quote, the board needs to understand that he's got a severe depression problem, He's got all of his reports to go with it. He's attending the necessary clinics. Once Tyson Fury produces all of his records of what he's been through, the boxing board, I don't think, will have any option but to give him his license back, because this is a guy that's needing medical treatment. Once the powers that be say he's fit to box and he's okay, there's no reason why he can't be reinstated. He is the linear heavyweight champion of the world. We argued that a second ago. He's done what nobody else could do. He's in the pinnacle of his career. He's only 28 years of age. He's got a massive future. He is controversial. He's lighting up boxing, whether it be good or bad. I think it's a case of he is the world champion, the true world champion. Again, we discussed that a moment ago. I think when he does comes back, once he does come back, he'll be welcomed with open arms, especially the way he's voluntarily relinquished the belts. End quote. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be quite the case. It was voluntary in the sense that he knew it was coming anyway, and they would have been revoked or stripped by the respective organizations anyhow. So despite him coming forward and saying that, and this is a topic that will come up in a little bit concerning Conor McGregor, despite his coming out and saying, hey, here's this thing, I'm being humble, I'm addressing this, I'm going to go ahead and end the controversy. It's not really ending the controversy. You knew the belts were going to be stripped. Tyson knew it, Peter knew it, the manager or the promoter knew it, everyone knew that this was going to happen, which, by the way, the promoter is Mick Hennessy. They knew it was going to happen. So this isn't necessarily I come on my knees, you know, wrapped in sackcloth and weeping and gnashing of teeth and sad. No, you knew this was happening. So you got in front of it first, and you should have been in front of it sooner. Again, I know it's a very weird place for someone to be cracking down on a commentary about a guy who's battling cocaine problems, who's battling mental health issues. I get it. It's a pretty bad look for me. Maybe. I don't necessarily think so, but some people might. But I don't feel like this is an opportunity for you to say, hey, we're the good guy. We gave up these belts to make sure that boxing goes on. And I hope that goes into consideration. Here, it's not, or at least it shouldn't, because it was going to happen anyway. You doing something to continue or to allow the inevitable to happen, if you're the agent that causes the inevitable to happen, that doesn't really change the scenario all that much. The inevitable was still going to happen. These belts were going to go back to their respective organizations and out of the hands or off the waist of Tyson Fury. Your relinquishing them before they were stripped does nothing to change that narrative or inevitability. Now, the other problem Tyson Fury is going to be facing is the fact that he was popped during a fight in 2015 about an anti-doping. He was a performance-enhancing drug. So he's going to be battling that situation as well. And the discussion from The Guardian, it goes into, quote, the suspension of Fury's, however, is complicated by the doping allegations that emerged in June but date back to February 2015. They were reported shortly after he postponed his scheduled rematch with Klitschko, so on and so on. We talked about that a little while back, that anti-doping violation had come up and that it was still being argued. If that shows to be valid and the results of the test back that, I think anything in terms of this recovery from the mental health problem goes out the window. If he's popped for a performance-enhancing drug, I don't think the suspension is going to be lifted. I think it's going to be made more permanent or at least extended for a set period of time. And Tyson Fury will have nothing to argue about that, because then it will not be a reflection on his cocaine problem or his medically unfit to fight due to mental health issues situation. The cocaine might. That may be. We'll see how that plays into it. But by itself, that individual fight from last year where there was a performance-enhancing drug found in his system via blood test, that could be the thing, or, you know, urine test, however it was tested. That's going to be the thing that is the catalyst for a more permanent or more decisive suspension. And all the problems that come in with the cocaine and things like that are not going to alleviate that being the problem either. Which, by the way, we're going to rewind a little bit, because there was another piece of this article that I wanted to read that was the discussion from Peter Fury, his trainer and uncle, that I kind of wanted to point out. I found it very interesting. Here's the quote. Quote, he's addressing it now, it being the mental health issue receiving treatment for it. He's addressing it now, and we spoke for three and a half, four hours yesterday. The treatment he's had already is doing him a lot of good. I referenced that a little earlier. He hasn't got a drug addiction. He just did a stupid thing. He's not going into any clinics for drug abuse. He's got manic depression, which is a version of bipolar. They did have a name for it, but I can't think of it. They said over a period of the next few months, he should start to respond and make progress, end quote. And I apologize for my phone falling again. That's not quite what I would call that. Yeah, again, the cocaine was a symptom of the problem. But if you're someone who's very open about the fact that you're, quote, taking lots of cocaine, that's a problem that's probably going to be addressed within the mental health banner. Not to vilify him for that. I'm not saying that, you know, again, it's a symptom of a larger thing. We hope it's a symptom of a larger problem, and I believe it could be. And there was also lots of drinking involved. Tyson Fury said he couldn't function without drinking a good amount of alcohol. Those are both problems that need to be addressed as well. Under the same banner or in the same, you know, approach or in the same program overall for the mental health issues, yes. But just because that's the mental health problem doesn't mean there's not an addiction component to it. So let's slow up not calling him a drug addict when he talks about taking lots of cocaine. There's at least something involved in that front. So let's slack off on that. But that's Tyson Fury. Again, we wish him well in his recovery efforts. And I'm curious to see how the fights go. Now the belts from the WBO and WBA have been removed. As we said, Anthony Joshua will be fighting Klitschko for the IBF belt and the now vacated WBA belt if this fight can be, you know, can come to an agreement and find that middle ground. We talked about that a few weeks ago. I think that will happen, and I'm excited to see that fight, or at least talk about it. And then it's also rumored that Joseph Parker from New Zealand and Mexico's Andy Ruiz Jr. will be contesting for the WBO belt. So these two belts are already being put in position to be contended for in the near future, and that's the right way to do that. Put these belts right back in the wild and allow them to be contested for and won and lost and however. That's how it's supposed to happen. This is PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. I am Cody Sandusky, and this October 15th episode is going to roll on. But before we do, a little bit of a tidbit that it's always fun to share if you're in Cardinals country like we are here in Southeast Missouri, a little bit up the road from 709 Broadway, which is gaming grounds for all of your gaming needs. Retro games, special orders, pre-orders, WWE 2K17 is out now. I actually got to see Shannon play it at the store today, and I got onto him a little bit because I kind of really want to buy it now. I didn't plan on it because I have 16 and all the season pass stuff. Didn't play it a lot. I didn't really like the controls, but I'm liking how 17 looks. So go to gaming grounds for that, 709 Broadway. Plug out of the way. Also want to address that as this is recorded, Friday, October 14th, so when you're hearing this yesterday, 13 years ago, on October 14th, 13 years ago, Steve Bartman became a part of the sports narrative forever as the man with the Walkman on his ears, listening to the game being broadcast, interfering with a catch in left field of, I believe they were at Wrigley Field. They were at Wrigley Field. Steve Bartman interfering with a catch for Moises Alou, who freaked out after it, calling it fan interference. The Cubs, a game away from the World Series for the first time since the 1940s. This was game 6 of the NLCS. They could not win. The Marlins came back, won that in game 7. The Marlins win the World Series. The Cubs continue for 13 more years after that point. Maybe different this season, but continue their inability to win a World Series for the first time since 1908. And if you hear a little bit of a glib joy in my voice, it's there. Yeah, you're not hearing things. That's completely accurate. And it's fun for me to talk about. Oh, while we're on the topic of long suffering in sports, I do want to, before we get into the Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo conversation, I don't know if it's someone I've plugged on the podcast, but I definitely recommend if you want to see someone in the sports broadcasting world who battles the problems that plague a city that is starved for championships, I'll send you to Facebook and look up a man called Michael Jenkins. He's a sports commentator. He's a sports reporter, sports broadcaster, however you want to call him. He's an anchor for CSN Mid-Atlantic, which is the Washington, D.C. area, Baltimore, kind of that. It's Comcast Sportsnet, so CSN. He does a lot of interaction on Facebook and on Twitter. I love reading his stuff. The guy's really funny. If you may have heard about it last year, earlier this year, when the Capitals were knocked out of the Eastern Conference by the Pittsburgh Penguins, there was the segment he did on CSN Mid-Atlantic that saw him drinking, which I assume it was sweet tea, but he treated it like it was a Long Island or like a bourbon or something. It was a tall glass, drinking it on the air throughout the show. It was hilarious. And that has continued. And of course, with the Nationals being eliminated by the Dodgers in Game 5 with a one-inning save by Clayton Kershaw, the curses continue in Washington. And first of all, he put a great post up, a graphic from the Washington Post that talks about the futility of the Capitals, Wizards, Nationals, and Redskins from 1998 to now. It doesn't look pretty. Lots of a black is the color for no playoffs, and that is the predominant color in this picture, even with the fact that, yes, the Nationals weren't even a team until 2005, technically. Yes, they were the Montreal Expos, but they weren't in Washington, so they didn't have the plight of being a bad team amongst other bad teams in Washington. But it was interesting for that, and he had another ranting-like segment on their network. He titled the video, DC Sports Failure. Again, the guy's a whole lot of fun. Check him out. He's the narrative that a lot of fans would like to have if they had a platform to share it, and he does. So he gives you that perspective of this town is here to eat your soul. Your fandom causes you to die inside, so go drink. He said his drink of choice this year is unleaded gasoline. So as his anchor talked to him, I encourage him to stay away from open flames or things that spark. But nonetheless, check out Michael Jenkins. You won't regret it. You can find him on Facebook. Just search Michael Jenkins. And like I said, if you're a fan of comedic approaches to sports reporting, as well as just some fun stories that come across your newsfeed, check him out. He's at JenksCSN. So shout out to Michael Jenkins. Quality stuff. I really enjoy watching him. And it brightens things up if you're a sports fan, or you've kind of, if you tap into the melancholy that can come with your team losing or being perpetually poor in playoffs, check him out. Back to the Fight Night version of PZ85 Sports. I think that may be the title for this one, Fight Night Edition. It's, you know, based upon the EA Sports boxing game, which Dalton and I talked about in June during the EA week, which I went back and listened to that episode. It was a lot of fun to talk about it or listen back to it in the conversations for our favorite games. The Fight Night came up. I think UFC Undisputed came up as well at some point. But be that as it may, speaking of those that are in the UFC, then we have two fighters involved in a fight recently, within the last year, that are now going in two very different directions, but maybe avoiding fighting in the UFC, or at least in specific places in the case of one of them, any longer. We'll start with Jose Aldo, who has said he has no desire to fight again. And this is an article from Fox Sports. Remember, he is the interim featherweight champion. Due to Conor McGregor moving on to the fight with Diaz and not wanting to take over for that time, someone needed to fill the gap. So Aldo signed up for that fight and won it, so he is the interim featherweight champion. He wants Conor McGregor in a rematch because, you know, that's the logical thing to do. He's the interim champion. Conor is the current champion in the lightweight division. So featherweight division, excuse me. So why not put those two together and get that fight? That's the way booking fights works. Unfortunately, that's not how booking fights works in the UFC. As I mentioned a little while ago, Conor McGregor has a fight in the lightweight division for the lightweight title against Eddie Alvarez at UFC 205. Now, what has been said in that by Dana White is that if he wins the lightweight title at UFC 205, he is going to have to vacate one of those belts. He does not have to vacate the featherweight belt to fight for the lightweight title, but if he wins, he must decide to vacate one or the other. With Conor McGregor, who knows? My theory is he's probably going to vacate the featherweight title and say, you know what, I'm going to move to this different division because I've proven myself in the featherweight division and I don't want to do it any longer. That's all well and good. We'll get to that when we get there, which, by the way, the difference, lightweight is 155, featherweight is 145, so he'd have to cut 10 less pounds. When that fight was announced, Aldo immediately asked for his release from the UFC and then has kind of knuckled down on that one and has further confirmed it. It hasn't changed a lot, but he's meeting with the UFC this coming week about the situation. He's supposed to be flying to Los Angeles to meet with promoter Dana White. Here's some of the comments that Aldo has concerning this. Quote, Dana White can offer me anything. I started to get unmotivated back then when I lost the belt. I was the champion for so long, I had the right to get an immediate rematch, and they didn't give it to me. But I wanted to walk in a different direction, but Didi, which is Andre Peternarius, made me fight again. Aldo said when speaking about his fighter, or his fight trainer and manager, and of course this is a translation, he's from Brazil, so not a native speaker of English. Quote, I went there, fought, and won, and again, the fight with McGregor didn't come. I have no desire to fight again. I don't have any excitement to fight anymore. I have other projects in my life. I wanted to retire as champion, and I'm the champion today. I want to follow another path. The article goes on to say that his coach wants him to continue fighting, but he's the longest reigning featherweight champion in UFC history, and he's made up his mind, he's done. And the article goes on, quote, I'm very decided what I want. We're going to this meeting and see what happens. Didi knows what he wants. It's not like I want to retire. I'm too young and still have a lot left, but I have no desire to fight. And I have no interest in going to another organization. I won't leave the biggest league to fight in a small one. I'm a big team, and I want to be at the biggest league. If I'm not in the UFC, I'm not fighting anywhere else. If they release me, that would be great, but if not, what can we do? I have other projects, and that depends on this meeting we're having with them. If I want to retire, no contract can stop me. I can go there and say I'm retired and they can't force me to fight. A lawyer already looked at the contract, but I don't want to fight the UFC in court. I don't want anything. That's just, it's saddening that, you know, it's sad that this is the situation it comes to. Which, by the way, as we finish up the article, it said that UFC may have control over those other projects, quote unquote. And Aldo talked about it. He said, quote, they have the rights for everything, even my breath. How can't they? I can't even breathe outside of the UFC, end quote. And this, along with what we're going to get into in a second with the whole Conor McGregor thing, and his side of this problem, it's unfortunate to see someone be like that in Jose Aldo. And I think you can directly correlate his feelings about not wanting to fight anymore with the way Dana White and the UFC as a whole, but specifically Dana White is the promoter, or president of the organization too, but I call him promoter for whatever reason, that is predicated on how he handles his fighters. And the same thing is going on with Juliana Pena and the women's side. And I'll pull up that article as we go along because it paints much the same picture. Ronda Rousey is already going up and getting a fight for the title that she lost to Holly Holm clean. Super clean. That thing was as polished as it could be. She got rocked and knocked out. But she's coming back for her first fight since then. And she's jumping right into the title picture. And Juliana Pena is in the same place. She's like, what is it? What do I have to do? Now, Juliana Pena is number 5 in her division. You know, whether the merit that is merited to be that ranked or she needs to be a little bit higher, I'm not here to dispute that. Full disclosure, I don't follow UFC as closely as others, so I can't dispute ranking so much. But in terms of Jose Aldo, he's the interim champion. He's been the longest champion at featherweight in UFC's history. And he's right. Due to being the guy that got knocked out, or at least got defeated, and gave up that title, he should be entitled to a rematch. An immediate rematch, preferably, but a rematch. He hasn't received that. He fought for the interim title and has the right to call himself the champion right now because the champion hasn't showed up to fight for his belt in that weight class in a little while. But no, Jose Aldo is being left out and now is at a point where he doesn't want to fight anymore. And he's right. At 30 years old, he's really young in the fight game, or at least relatively young in the fight game. And the way he's looked pretty good. I mean, this isn't a guy that, you know, got completely dominated by Conor McGregor and has no hope or no right to ever come back. He has a right to fight for that title again in the full version of that title. But that's not happening. And that's the fault of the UFC and of Dana White. And it's a problem with fighting as a whole in terms of how they handle or the fighters getting their title shots and things like that. There's not a full like gamut of things they have to go through. Like, okay, you fight this guy, you climb the rankings, you get a title shot. You know, it's not like, and we talk about pro wrestling, of course, on Pro Wrestling Unscripted and all these things. There's very rare situations, or at least as uncommon as they are, they shouldn't be, but fights that kind of disclose, this is the number one contender fight. If you win this fight, you get title shot next dibs. That doesn't happen very often. At least it doesn't happen really in the MMA or in the MMA world, especially UFC that often. And that's a shame. I get that they want to completely separate their product from the WWE and, you know, Impact Wrestling and all these things. I get that they want to have that distinction because, of course, it's a real combat sport. But there's a reason that works. It gives a direct line of correlation for people to say, hey, this fight is important because the winner of this fight takes on the champ in a few months, you know, 5 months, however long that layover would be. This is an important fight because it carries weight for what comes next. And that's something you need to have. There are reasons that there are rankings. You have rankings of the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. You have rankings for the best fighter at each division, the ones follow down that. Sherdog does it. UFC does it. Use those rankings for something then. Because obviously, I can't find a reason that Jose Aldo wouldn't be number 2 or 1B in his featherweight division because, oh, he's the interim champion in that division. And Conor McGregor doesn't want to fight, or at least wants to do other things before he fights. And we'll get into some of the other things he's wanting to do, like avoid fighting in a state that hosts a lot of these events. But he's ducked that. And again, he's wanting to pursue different things. Conor McGregor's plugged in and he's wired a different way. He wants to have all these different challenges, these different fights. And that's great. But defend the strap you got first against the guy that deserves to have that defense opportunity or have that rematch opportunity. It's shameful that it has come to this. Like, this shouldn't be the case for Jose Aldo to be kind of torn down to this point where he just doesn't want to do this. But that's the case. And before we go into Dana White's comments on the Jozy Aldo thing, because of course Dana White has comments about the Jozy Aldo thing, let's get into the Juliana Pena discussion. This article from MMA Junkie, written by Matt Erickson, it talks about the fact that, you know, she has the reaction, a visceral reaction to Ronda Rousey's title shot against Amanda Nunes. It's coming in December, and she's sticking to what she said, although she's kind of taking a few steps back. She wasn't a big fan of it. Now, mind you, if you don't know Juliana Pena, she's 8-2 in MMA. She's 4-0 in the UFC. She's perfect in there. And if you count the stint she had in season 18 of The Ultimate Fighter, she's got 3 wins against UFC-level women's bantamweight competition. She fought against Rousey's team. She fought for Cupcake's team. And she took out Shania Baszler, who is Rousey's friend and also a fellow top fighter. And Pena came out very explicitly in her comments to MMA Fighting. Now, mind you, this article was published on the 14th, so the day of the recording, and this happened, I think, Monday. I remember reading these comments the first time. But it's bull expletive. And mind you, this is a quote. So, quote, it's bull expletive. And this was to MMA Fighting. That spoiled brat has gotten everything handed to her, and she's getting everything handed to her again. It's bull expletive. She's literally the worst fighter on the roster, and I can't stomach the fact that I'm not getting the title shot. I don't know how they conduct business over there, but they're going to do what they want no matter what. And she talked about even leaving the UFC to go to Combate Americas, or I'm not going to fight with that pronunciation. Combate Americas is how I'm going to say it, because I haven't actually heard it, but the organization that Alberto Del Rio or Alberto El Patron is currently being shown as the president or commissioner of it. And she's a color commentator for that show this weekend, or at least was tonight, I believe, Friday night, the 14th. She's a color commentator for their show, and it's streamed on UFC Fight Pass. So she has other avenues she can go, and she knows that's a thing. She rewound a little bit on those comments, but she thinks that she's the best one to fight for that title. This is an article that came out today, an interview with MMA Junkie Radio. So here's the quote with what's going on. Quote, I'm under contract with the UFC, so of course I won't be competing elsewhere. But what I was trying to say is that my record and the quality of wins since graduating The Ultimate Fighter, I feel, equates to a championship title in any other promotion. I'm just looking for my shot, and I believe I've earned it. And she clarified the worst fighter on the roster comment, which, you know, was probably, again, that visceral reaction I was talking about. Quote, Ronda is clearly not the worst fighter on the roster. What I was trying to convey is that she really is in the worst position on the roster because she's coming off of a devastating knockout to Harmless Holly and hasn't competed in 11 months. Meanwhile, the belt has switched hands multiple times and the landscape has changed dramatically while she's been away. I respect her abilities as a fighter and what she's done for the division, but she was knocked off her perch that was given to her, and I feel like she should have to earn her way back to the top. While she's been on vacation, the rest of us have been fighting. Like me. End quote. I can't really knock the merit of that point. And I don't think anyone has a place to knock that. You should have to fight your opportunity back up. Now, for Rousey, because it was a title shot, again, you got to look at the Jozy Aldo situation. Yeah, she deserves some form of rematch. Or at least she would if it was for the fact that the person that she lost to for that title no longer holds that title. It's rotated a few times, and now it's in the hands of Amanda Nunes. So I have to agree with Pena to a certain extent. Rousey shouldn't get an immediate rematch, or at least if she should have a warm-up fight, or maybe a number one contenders fight against one of the women in this division, probably Juliana Pena. You have this kind of bitterness, you have this kind of anger, resentment. Put those two in the ring, see who wins it. Yes, I know Cyborg's there. Yes, I know Rousey's going to want to fight Cyborg. Yes, that's the whole thing on the side. But this is the whole thing about the UFC, is that these opportunities are not properly fed to the people that deserve them. Yes, rematches are a thing. I understand that. Yes, you have to handle those. And yes, some fighters take layoffs. These are two very unique situations in the UFC, and the fact that they have two faces that are capable of making their money elsewhere, at least in the form of Rousey. Or the fact that she left for so long after being undefeated, and as soon as she gets rocked, she bails out for a while. Yeah, again, I'm not going to get into those conversations, but if there is a lineage or a level of fighter, you have this lineup, 1-5 or 1-10, or however it goes in your division, make that matchup happen to, if you're not going to give the number one person that isn't the champion a fight opportunity, or say they've had it before, whatever, allow for a number one contenders fight. I get that you want to have the gold on the line a lot of the time to make sure that something is being fought for of value, of tangible value. You see the belt goes to the winner. That's all well and good. But I think it honestly insults the intelligence of fans a little bit to say, hey, there must be a belt for this to be relevant. No, just let them fight and fight properly. I'm not saying in terms of in the ring competition, but allow there to be a proper structure for what these rankings mean, because otherwise they're just numbers. Let the guy who earns, or the girl who earns the title shot, let them fight to earn it. And if they earn it, go for it. That's your fight. Make it happen. And Dana White is so viscerally against this, or at least illogically against this. I don't understand why this is such a problem. I know his job is to make the company money. He's supposed to make sure profits come in. He's supposed to make sure that good things happen in the ring, and that the people that are fighting in the ring are able to be, like, you know, tangibly appreciated by fans. I don't know why I keep using the word tangibly, but are related by the fans. They are, you know, eloquent on the mic or angry on the mic if you're Brock Lesnar or some of these guys. Someone that the fans can enjoy and will pay money to see, whether it be pay to see them win, or in the case of Conor McGregor, pay to see them get their butt kicked. That's fine. But there is something, if you want your organization, you want to continue the development of your sport as a legitimate sport, one that people think is mainstream, capable of being followed in the same way as boxing 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you have to follow through with some structure, some operations, or order of operations. Allow the people that are toward the top of the rankings that aren't the champion, let them have a number one contender fight. Or you know what? Just let the next guy up, if he hadn't had a title shot, have a title shot. Because the way you're doing it is disgruntling important employees or important fighters that people like and people have fought hard for. Their opportunity, and people want to see, I think, if you were to follow that protocol. And that's a thing we can get into again some other time. But I do want to finish up with the conversation about Conor McGregor, because I think this is the thing that annoyed me the most. But we will get there in a second. I do want to give you Dana White's comments for Jose Aldo, saying that he's retiring from the UFC. He's trying to get him in for a conversation, but here's what he said on UFC Tonight from Fox Sports on Wednesday. Quote, listen, I can't make anybody fight anybody. I can do the best I can to put together fights and make them happen. Jose Aldo and I will get together probably next week and we'll talk about this. I think he's being a little ridiculous about this. End quote. And you go further down. Quote, I'll get him a fight. I'll get him a fight all day long. If you look at that division, it's stacked. Max Holloway is ready. He wants to fight. Anthony Pettis is in that division now. There's a lot of talented guys there he can fight. I can't make Conor McGregor fight anybody. Obviously, everyone wants to fight. I'm waiting for Joanna Jay, and I'm not going to try to embarrass myself by pronouncing her last name. I'm sorry. You know who she is, hopefully, if you follow MMA, to call out Conor McGregor next. Everybody wants to fight Conor. Yeah, but Conor's got a championship belt he hasn't defended in a while. And Josie's got the interim version of that championship belt. I think you should be able to make your guys fight. If not, you're letting the inmates run the asylum, or you're letting the cuckoos run the clock. And that's not a good look, Dana White. He goes on, quote, when Aldo was doing it, Aldo never aspired to do those things. Talking about fighting up different weight classes or things like that. I'm the guy that stood in front of pretty much everybody in this sport at one time or another, and a fight pulled out the week before. Let me tell you what, no one acts the way Conor McGregor acts when a fight pulls out or whatever. You're talking about a guy, normally when you have so much to lose, everybody's afraid to lose it. No one wants to take a risk. This guy goes all in every time. And it's part of the appeal and the allure of Conor McGregor. Everybody can be mad and everybody can cry, but when you step up and fight the way this guy fights and you put all your chips on the table, nobody does it. That's fine that he wants to fight anybody, anytime. That's great. And I'm sure that makes you a ton of money. Of course, Conor McGregor, $3 million purse for his fight with Diaz. That doesn't change the fact he's a champion in your company who hasn't defended that belt against the guy who's the interim champion. I shouldn't have to explain this. You're a fight promoter. I get your job is to make money. I think a good way to make money is a rematch between two guys that fought really hard and really well the last time and who both have gold around their waist in the same division. So somebody's got to win and be the true champion again. This isn't that hard. You know, we joke on Pro Wrestling Scripted, you know, CM Punk said it, that Vince McMahon's a millionaire and we should be a billionaire. Dana White's kind of the same way. In fact, he makes stupid decisions and this is one of them. You can't make a guy fight. I'm sorry, are you not good at your job as the president of the UFC? You should be able to corral your guys in enough to make a fight happen. And if not, you're not really the president, you're a pawn. Let's get into the Conor McGregor quotes before we wrap up here about 44 minutes in. If you remember, in the build-up for UFC 202, Conor McGregor showed up late to the press conference with Nate Diaz. And as a part of that, Diaz and his crew left early. And so Conor McGregor and he started throwing bottles back and forth. Water bottles as well as Monster energy drink cans. Yeah, still filled with drink. Probably not a good thing. And, you know, there was a crowd. Not only of Nate Diaz's guys, but of people around them. Yeah, it's probably not the best thing you want to do in that situation. But the fine came down from the Nevada State Athletic Commission this week. They hit Conor McGregor with a $150,000 fine. Yes, 150,000, and 50 hours of community service, as well as a requirement to work inside of, I think, is an anti-bullying campaign or something along those lines, but a promotional campaign, a PSA campaign for the state of Nevada. McGregor doesn't want to pay this. Now, mind you, in case you missed it, McGregor showed up 35 minutes late. Diaz left early, and that caused the water bottle throwing and the energy drink can throwing into the crowd where Diaz was standing. Now, the commission thought this was worthy of punishment, and they're right. McGregor, the reason it's $150,000, and there's a couple pieces that goes into this, but primarily it's a 5% fine of the purse he won in that fight, which was $3 million. Here's the arrest from Rolling Stone, 50 hours community service, and the requirement of helping launch an anti-bullying campaign. And of course, instead of handling that the way a professional normally would, which would be, hey, yeah, I've made my mistake. It's a little bit high, but we'll roll with that and pay the fine and move on. Conor McGregor is deciding to approach it a little bit differently. Along the lines of, first of all, tweeting out the line that I get fined more than these bums get paid as soon as the announcement was made for that fine, which, first of all, real classy look for your organization and for your imagery, Conor McGregor. That's some people respect that. Some people don't. I'm kind of one of those guys. But he continued on talking about it, but instead of necessarily paying for it, UFC President Dana White said that Conor's not really interested in fighting in Nevada anymore. Huh. I wonder why. Is it because he wants to duck paying that money? And here's where McGregor went with it. Quote, I don't see Nevada in my future. For the foreseeable future is how I see it. I'm free to do what I want. I'm good. New York, New York. That's what I think. The article goes on to say that he can't contest or protest this fine because he apologized to the NSAC, the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and said he would accept whatever punishment was doled out upon him. That backfired a little bit. Now, there were some rumors it was going to be as low as $25,000, but with that line coming out, it went up to $150,000. So that's not necessarily the best thing for him. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, kind of that apologizing or, you know, here's this, that Tyson Fury did. Same situation for Conor McGregor. And so far, it's probably going to blow up in his face too. But he negated it a little bit differently. Now, Dana White called the fine insane. That was his tidbit. He said it was insane. And McGregor agrees. And here's a quote about that. Quote, I thought they might respect me calling in a little bit more. I owned up. I manned up. I'm here. I apologize. I'm not trying to blame nobody, although they fired the rounds off first, that being, of course, the Diaz camp. I didn't think they would even go that route because I didn't think this was, like, a real thing. Are they going to come and arrest me, or what the blank is that? I wanted to give them the respect, and I felt they would have respected that, but they didn't. So, whatever. It is what it is. Good luck trying to get it. He's ducking a fine from an athletic commission and is going to avoid the state in fighting completely, because he doesn't think it's right. He thinks he should have been treated properly because he showed respect and that he's just not going to do it. What world does he live in? Yes, I get he's Conor McGregor. He's in the king of the fight world in MMA right now. I understand that, or at least people see him as that. He sees himself as that, and Dana White does the same. But that doesn't exempt you from paying a fine, however egregious you think it may be. $150,000 is, as they noted, 5% of your $3 million purse. For your most recent fight. This isn't even money. Like, that's money you just made. You've got more in your background. You got more through sponsorships. Pay the fine. But no, he's going to run to New York to fight in Madison Square Garden, which is where the fight against Alvarez is happening at UFC 205. So the first, you know, UFC event, if I remember correctly, in New York, first UFC event for sure in Madison Square Garden. These guys are going to square off for the lightweight title. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. He's going to make his money anyway. But it's just insane to see that happen, like, for someone to be able to avoid that. And he goes on and gives a little bit of credit to Nate. He said, quote, I do not wish to see Nate get any more, any less than me. I don't want to see either of us have something like this happen, but we'll see. I don't know. If they went that way on me, I don't know what way they're going to go on him. He threw the bottle first, but I don't wish he get more than me or anything like that. I just wish we'd get it sorted out and get on with it and carry on. Yeah, now mind you, Nate Diaz's purse was $2 million, and his hearing has been pushed back to later on the year. So we don't know what the fallout is for his yet. We'll talk about it here on PZ85 Sports. But it's just, I don't get it. And the article ends in Rolling Stone as best it can from Conor McGregor. Quote, respect to them being the NSAC. They wanted me to pay them and work for them at the same time. How can I not respect that? Good luck to them. Because, of course, Conor McGregor wants to make that money. Yeah, yeah. He's a prize fighter. He's a purse fighter. We talked about this. You know, people have talked about this. The guy cares about the money. He's passionate about fighting, I guess, but he's big about the money. But to insult an athletic commission after you made the dumb decision, you threw cans of drink, like unopened cans, you threw water bottles at a group of people, that's an arrestable offense, maybe. And you got fined, yeah, a pretty hefty deal, $150,000, maybe a little much. But it's a fine. You said you would accept, and now you're going to duck it. You're no better than Donald Trump. And I know we don't talk about politics on this show ever, but it's the same thing. You're ducking what you said you would accept to pay, and you're not going to do it. Real classy. We'll see what happens. I don't know if the Aldo-McGregor fight ever happens. I don't think it does, personally. And that's really unfortunate because Aldo doesn't deserve to be ducked like that by Conor McGregor. We'll see if the welterweight belt, or the featherweight belt gets vacated if McGregor wins this lightweight belt at 205 on November 12th. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted on that. But to sum up my soapbox thoughts, Conor McGregor, that's disrespectful. I don't like that. I don't really respect your decision in this case. Pay your fine and go back to fighting in Nevada sometimes, because while you have the position to duck fights, that's disrespectful to the sport and people came before you. And yes, I know that's kind of pandering, whatever. I don't care. I think it's stupid and he should pay it. Dana White, you also need to get your head out of your rear end and allow number one contender fights and allow a proper path of climbing the ladder in divisions to get title shots. The Alpena's comments maybe a little less warranted and a little more visceral because she's currently ranked number five in her division, but that division's had a ton of turnover. So yeah, she's someone who hasn't had a title shot yet. I think she deserves it, or at least put her up against Rousey. Do something. But shotgunning Rousey back to the title fight? No. Jose Aldo is an interim champion in a division where the champion doesn't want to defend his belt. He deserves much better than that. And if you don't think you can make your guys fight, because obviously you have no control over Conor McGregor, and now you go from being mad at him about ducking the press work at UFC 200 and kicking him off the card to being buddy-buddy with him again because he's bringing in bank, that shows you care about one thing, and it's not the quality of the events you put on in your organization that you're the president of. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of Dana White right now, not a fan of Conor McGregor right now, but I am a fan of you listening to this podcast, so thank you for tuning into the October 15th episode of PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. It's plug time! First of all, patreon.com, search Podzilla 1985. Well, let's rewind. First of all, podzilla1985.com. Podzilla1985.com, because talking is hard, but we do it multiple hours a week for your entertainment. If you tune in, you can hear Nerd Up tomorrow. You'll be able to hear Jesse and the crew bring you up to date on everything in movies, in games, and comic books. We sent another announcement video from the Pokemon Company about some more Pokemon evolutions coming to Pokemon Sun and Moon. We're about a month and a few days away. The demo for the game comes out October 18th. People are excited. I don't have a 3DS or 2DS, but I'm likewise excited just because it's fun. So tune into that. Of course, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's got some great stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. I won't spoil that for you, but the guys will tell you. Shannon, Asa, Dalton, and then producer Allie. They'll get into that. Terrifying Tanner Thursday is continuing on a great theme for the month. And of course, Villains Month, brought to you by Villainous Grounds in Perryville. Coffee shop, comic book shop. The owners are passionate about both, and we love them. We love their coffee product. Again, I'm a huge fan of their cold brew coffee with coffee ice cubes. Yes, ice cubes made of coffee. Best thing ever. Just go. Go. If you're not a comic book fan, go get their drinks. And if you're a comic book fan, go get both. Like, I tend to buy some sometimes. I don't buy comics as often as the rest of the group sometimes, but I do love me some coffee. So Villains Month is continuing on this week on Podzilla 1985. I think I've hit all the plugs for all the podcasts, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Cool. Next up, Patreon.com. Search Podzilla 1985. If you have the opportunity to support us bringing you this content every week, we appreciate every penny that backs us to allow us to pay for our equipment, pay for the website fees, and just allows us to develop this great content that we hope you enjoy. I heard we had another Patreon backer. I don't have his full name on here. I will let Jesse do the read on Sunday. But thank you, sir and or ma'am. Redbubble.com, search Podzilla 1985. You can look for the apparel and the memorabilia from the PZ85 family, the PZ85 sports shirt. It's awesome. I love that logo. Go check that out. Redbubble.com, search Podzilla 1985. I think we're out of plugs. Oh, one more thing. If you're a fan of this show, I almost forgot. It's the one that's, I guess, directly pertinent to me. If you're a fan of this show and you're a fan of my voice, first of all, thank you. Second of all, I appreciate it. Third of all, I have a new show coming Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. on SEMO ESPN. If you're in the Southeast Missouri region, that's 92.9 FM, 1220, 1470 AM. If you're not, SEMOESPN.com will have the stream on either FM or AM band, as well as the SEMO ESPN app in the Google Play Store or the iTunes App Store. The Home Stretch with Cody Sandusky, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m., starting October 17th, talking about all the sports that go on professionally in this area, the Blues, the Grizzlies, and the Kansas City Chiefs as the Rams up and left. We'll talk about high school sports. We're going to talk about everything with a local perspective. I'm super stoked, and I hope you join me, or you hope you will join me, for that show, The Home Stretch. You can follow it at Home Stretch Talk. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Cody Sandusky, at CodySandusky. Follow me on Facebook at Cody Sandusky Sports. Follow Podzilla 1985 on Facebook at Podzilla 1985. All the episodes are published there. We have questions with the fans and whatnot that Shannon puts up. I need to be better about that. I'm sorry, guys. But just follow us, and we hope to continue bringing you this great content each and every week. We thank you for all of your support, and I thank you for your support. Now, I gotta head to St. Louis for some family things with my college roommate and his family. So I will talk to you guys next week. Enjoy the fall weather because it's here. Hopefully to say after these high 70s, low 80s temps get out of the way this weekend. Enjoy some sports because it's hockey season. Woo! Talk to you guys next week.